It's the River of God's Anointing, and we are Beacon of Hope Ministries from Clearwater, Florida. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister. This is Living the Good Life, and we appreciate Brother Ken giving us such a wonderful introduction. They have a great show on right before ours, Gospel Highlights, and you need to tune in early if you're not used to doing that, and catch the great music that Brother Ken has. And it's going to be a great day around here at Living the Good Life. We've got a topic, and I just told him the topic, and he announced it. Don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie. That's the topic today, and it's going to be a great time. Hey, Engineer Bill, how are you?
Don't buy the lie.
Don't buy the lie, honey. Don't buy the lie. Well, I mean, it's truth versus lies today. And we are really going to get into this subject. And those of you out there in Radio Land that are suffering physically, emotionally, mentally, this day is especially for you because God wants to do something mighty in you and wants to bring healing into your lives. And so it is going to be a powerful time in God's Word. So thanks, Brother Ken, and appreciate that introduction. And he's just a sweetheart. Y'all should see him. He's just a sweetheart. Anyway, yeah, there we go. Look at that. Wow. What a group clap for Brother Ken. He's such a Buccaneers fan, too, I tell you.
He's awesome.
He is. He's an awesome Buccaneers fan. You know, I was just driving here from my condo here to the radio station here in Clearwater. It takes me about 20, 25 minutes. And you know, Bill, it is so cool because most of my journey is by the water, the Intercoastal Waterway. And it is so beautiful out there today.
It's so peaceful.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't it gorgeous?
It is beautiful.
The water, the birds. I mean, this is one of those days. Now, on Thursday of this week, we had a tropical storm. And that was not a beautiful day. But it sure did give us a whole lot of rain, which we needed. But today is a gorgeous day. And it's the day the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we are glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. You have plenty of time to call a relative, a friend. I'm going to be joined by a couple different ones from our radio team at Beacon of Hope in a little while. Pastor Michelle will join me soon on the phone, and then later on, our dear Connie. And we've got some great discussion and some fun stuff to talk about today, but some very serious stuff, too, about what the devil tries to do to us and what we can do about it. And, you know, I think the most important part of that sentence is what we can do about it. You know, so often people are all bound up, you know.
What you gonna do?
There you go. We're gonna find out what you're gonna do. That's exactly right. Thank you, Bill. So we've been in a series for the last few weeks entitled, It's All About You, Jesus. I've been preaching this series at Beacon of Hope, and we've been carrying it through on the radio. It's All About You, Jesus. We are 3 weeks from today till Resurrection Day. A lot of people call that Easter, but we like to call it Resurrection Day because that is what happened. And we just came from our Resurrection Day service at the nursing home because Beacon of Hope has a monthly ministry at Palm Garden Nursing Home in Palm Harbor. And we had a great turnout. The room was packed, and we had just a lot of ministry to a lot of people there at Palm Garden. Our own dear Jeannie lives there, is a resident there and being cared for. And my mother was there for a few months after she fell last summer and broke her hip and her shoulder and her pelvis. And so she was there also for a while, but now she's back at her assisted living and doing great. My mom is great. A lot of times mom's listening, so if you're listening, Mom, I love you very much. And, you know, so often we tend to not remember all the things that our parents do for us. And I tell you, my mom and my dad brought me up not only in a Christian home, but they brought me up in the ministry, dad being a pastor. And then mom and dad went to the mission field and took my sisters and I when I was 11. We went, and my sisters were 8 and 5, and we had so many wonderful experiences there in Central America growing up and learning the Word and being taught the Word by some of the other missionaries and by our parents. And so it's just a blessing.
I remember some of those stories.
Yeah,
that you told.
I've told some of them.
The one where you're in the truck and the truck's about to go off the highway.
That's exactly right.
And your dad's fingernails get plastered into the front dash because he's like holding on for dear life.
You are so right.
What was it? Transmission went out?
We were having something like that. And because my Uncle Fred was in the front seat with my dad in the front of this big, it was like what they called back then a carry-all, like a big van. And Uncle Fred laid his hands on the dashboard and I was sitting in the back. And I mean, we were going around these circular, dirt roads from the mountains in Guatemala down towards the capital city. And seriously, the brakes were gone. There was something seriously wrong. And Uncle Fred laid his hands on that dashboard and started praying and commanding it to come back in the name of Jesus. And it did. And we were safe. And that's why I'm sitting here right now. Otherwise, I would have been dead a long time ago. How about that?
That goes a tingling feeling through my body.
Woo! That's because that's the anointing of God and God answering prayers. So, yes, that's one of the many, many stories of the things that happened during those years. God loves us so much and cares about us. So, dear friend, no matter what it is you're going through today, God is on your side. He loves you. No matter how you're suffering, no matter what you have been experiencing this past week with stress or with anxiety or maybe fear or maybe loneliness, whatever is going on in your life, God cares about the details of your life. And he wants to get that message hammered into you today. And it's all about what he says is true, what the devil says is a lie. And so we're going to talk more about that today. Listen to our first song by Casting Crowns, one of my favorite songs, The Voice of Truth.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves. To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory.
Just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high. On top of them, looking down.
Wow, I love that song. Boy, that just really says it. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries today. The voice of truth. The voice of truth is the voice of God and God's word to you. Let's go to John chapter 8, and we're going to find a lady who had a whole lot of things coming at her. And so often in life, we are misunderstood. Perhaps somebody tries their best to put us down, or maybe it's just lies coming at us from the devil through other people. Let's look at John 8 and see a lady that was caught in the very act of adultery. Jesus went, was sitting in the temple, and he started to teach. I'm in John chapter 8, and right at the beginning of John chapter 8, he sat down and he taught them. And I'm using the Message Bible, but I also have my NIV here, so I'll probably go back and forth. But in verse 3, the religion scholars and the Pharisees, now these were all the people who were, you know, thought they knew everything about God. They led in a woman who had been caught in an act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight of everyone, and they said, "Teacher," this is what they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gave orders to stone such persons. What do you say?" Now, it goes on in the very next sentence to say they were trying to trap him. Trap him. And if you take notes, write down the word trap, because the word trap is very significant to our discussion today on Living the Good Life. The devil is all about trying to trap you. He has a lot of schemes. He has a lot of tricks, and we are going to expose a lot of those today. And I'm sure the old devil's not going to be very happy about this show, because this show is going to help you draw on the very blessings of God that he has for you, because we're going to expose the lies, the tricks, the schemes, and the traps of the devil. So they were trying to trap Jesus, these religious leaders. And if Jesus would have agreed with them that the woman was to be stoned, then they could have lodged a complaint that he was trying to usurp authority over the Roman Empire. He couldn't say that. If he said, "No, we're not going to stone her," then they would have accused him of being contradictory to the law of Moses. They would have, basically, Jesus was in a no-win situation here. No matter what he said, if he said, no, we're not going to do that, or wait a minute, you guys don't understand, or whatever he would have said would have been the wrong thing. Have you ever been in one of those kind of traps by the devil where it just seems like it doesn't matter what you say, you're caught, and there's no way around it? Well, what Jesus did was very interesting, because instead of responding and arguing his case, he bent down in the dirt or the sand, and he began to write some words in the sand. I find that very fascinating, that instead of responding, arguing his case, making a big deal, trying to put these guys on the spot and show them how crazy they were and, you know, get into an argument with them, he didn't do that. He just bent down in the sand and he began to write words. Now, a lot of scholars believe that he wrote words that were sins that a lot of this group of religious people standing around him had committed. Maybe they were sins, again, of adultery. Maybe there was lying. Maybe there was cheating. Maybe there was stealing. Who knows what all the words were that he wrote? And we're not even positive that that's what he wrote. But a lot of scholars do tend to believe that. And Jesus began to write all these things. And, you know, the next thing we find him saying is interesting. It is in verse 6. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept at him, badgering him. He straightened up, and here's what he said. Here's what he said. "The sinless one among you, go first. Throw the stone." Now, he put it right back on these religious leaders. Now, basically he was saying, in our vernacular, he was saying, hey, if any of you are sinless or any of you are perfect or any of you don't have any sin in your life, you go ahead and throw the first stone. Whoa. And then he bent down again and kept on writing more in the dirt. Suddenly, and now we're in verse 9 of John chapter 8, hearing what he had to say, they walked away, one after another. The Amplified Bible, right there with those, that phrase, one after another, says this, conscience stricken, one after another. They began with the oldest, interesting, and they all began to just walk away and leave the woman standing there, and Jesus bending down in the dirt, still writing words in the dirt. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her. Now I'm in verse 10 of John chapter 8. Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? No one, Master. Verse 11 of John 8. Neither do I, said Jesus. Go on your way. From now on, don't sin. Now, I find it interesting in one of my commentaries that I was studying, the Dake's commentary, it says that the early church did not like the story. Even though it's in the Bible and even though it's in the book of John and John wrote it, the early church did not like this part, especially the end where Jesus says he doesn't condemn her. And he says, from now on, don't sin. The early church did not like that because they really felt like Jesus was saying it's okay to commit adultery, which we all know that's not the case. That's not okay, and Jesus would not have said that. But what was being said here was Jesus was saying, you're forgiven, I don't condemn you, go your way, and don't get caught up in that mess again. Woo! Pastor Michelle, are you on the air?
I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing real well, real well.
Yeah, I'm excited about this topic. I'm sorry you couldn't join me in the studio today, but at least I'm glad to have you on the phone here. So,
I am glad to be here. Me too. We had a lot of cleanup after that storm, so
today
was the only day I could do it at home.
Oh, it's been crazy. I just mentioned it at the top of the show about how beautiful it is today, but how horrible it was on Thursday.
Well, you know, many people, their pools overflowed, and and my parents, they had a hose running out from their pool. So
right.
I'm sure Pastor Michelle has some advice for our Christian friends who are listening today.
Do you have any advice, pool owner?
Only thing that you can do is drain your pool. A lot of people are concerned about them overflowing and going into their house or whatever. That's not going to happen. But if you are concerned, just call your local pool store and they'll give you a step-by-step of how to drain some water out of there. And if you have a pool service, they should have that included in their service.
Well, couldn't we call you?
Yeah, absolutely. I am more than happy to.
Cardinal Pool Care.
What's that?
Cardinal Pool Care.
We're giving
you a plug
right now, Pastor Michelle.
Cardinal Pool Care.
CardinalPoolCare.com.
Yeah, .com. Oh, is that where you pick it up? CardinalPoolCare.com?
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's her business. And so, yeah, we do give you a plug there.
Yeah, there
okay.
You go. Thank you.
All right. Let's get back to the woman caught in adultery. You know, don't you find this a fascinating story, Pastor Michelle? I mean, don't you just find it so interesting that Jesus did not try to argue with these guys, these religious leaders?
You know what? I did. I found that incredibly interesting. And a lot of times people ask, well, you know, all this stuff that happens in the Bible, you know, you can't put it in real-time examples and so forth. And I think this is a great example of how you can use this in your life today.
Yes.
Because we always have these people who challenge us.
Yes, right.
And basically what, and this is what I, how I felt when I was listening to it. Basically, Jesus knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously he had a heads up.
Right.
And, you know, when somebody's trying to trap you, you pretty much know that's going to happen. So do like Jesus, first of all, and you know, you expect it, and don't play into their trap.
Right.
So that's the first thing. The second thing that I liked is how forgiving he is.
Amen.
And I have found myself saying to a lot of people with that are angry with, particularly people in the professional athletes who get in trouble, and they're so what we, the layperson, think are so easily forgiven by the public. And there are some friends of mine are like, oh, you know, he's a jerk, I hate him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I have found myself saying, I sure am glad my God isn't as harsh or judgmental as you. And that's what I saw with Jesus today.
Yes. Yes.
When we accept Jesus into our heart, you know, and accept who he is, because, you know, she did by, I believe she did by the simple fact that she said, thank you, yes, Lord.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
She said, you see anybody here, blah, 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 to condemn you or whatever. She said, no, Lord, I don't. So just addressing him by that, she accepted him.
Right.
And that he was so forgiving and didn't play into the devil and those the people who are trying to trap them.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think that it's so easy for us as Christians, let's say, to always find it convenient to point a finger at others. Don't you think?
It is. And I find
it comes
that
natural,
most
I guess.
Of us that do that is, are trying to get the attention off us.
Exactly. When we point a finger, yes. And all these religious leaders gathered around Jesus were trying to set the trap, trying to catch him so they could condemn him. You know, the whole idea here was to lay the trap, you know, in a no-win situation where Jesus could get caught and then they could, further condemn him, you know, and say, okay, see, this proves he's not the Son of God. But it's so cool that God outsmarts.
Every time.
You know?
If we could get that into our heads, you know, we could just be, you know, living on easy street.
I know. Yes.
But, you know, and that's, I'm as guilty as anybody else in just, you know, freaking out and accepting all the anxiety. That goes with life instead of just saying, okay, you know, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going down this I'm not getting on this merry-go-round again. I am just letting God. I'm believing in God. Blah, blah, blah. And the devil just wants you to, every time to say, oh, he's not going to help you this time.
Oh,
he's not going to help you this time.
He's a liar. We're going to talk about that today. And let's go back to Psalm 119. And I want to start with about verse 25. And while you're all finding that, I think it's kind of a picture of what this woman may have been feeling. Psalm 119, verse 25. Here's what the devil does while you're finding that. He sets the trap. Okay. Have you ever, Michelle, have you ever had to catch a mouse with a trap?
I have, among
Isn't that
other things.
Ooh, have you caught other things with a trap?
You know, it's, you know, the little squirrels get in there or whatever, but, you know, it's kind of by accident.
Yeah. But it's not pretty, is it? I mean,
no,
you know.
It's not.
No, it's really not.
It's disgusting.
It really is. And, you know, if we can understand and get a mental picture that the devil wants to get us in that kind of a trap. The devil hates us. How many times have we said that, Pastor Michelle? Over and over again. He hates our guts. Do you want to amplify on that before we go to Psalm 119 about how much the devil hates us and why he hates us?
Well, we got to remember the devil's goal. The devil's goal is to keep everybody in hell.
Right. Yeah.
Basically, he wants to rule the world, and he thinks he can outsmart God. And the longer he can do, because the reality is it's not going to happen.
Right.
God is the Alpha Omega, the best that ever was, is whatever.
Right.
Okay.
And we know the end of the book. You know,
right.
We know what's going to happen.
We know how the story ends. We know who the Lord is. But the devil is going to delay it as long as he can.
Right.
And he's going to do anything to delay that with his lies. Because first, he's going to pretend like he is your best friend. And some, you know, the thing that just popped in my head is first, he's going to act like he is your best friend, and he's going to hook you up. And, you know, it could be some people who win the lottery and say, oh, yeah, right, I got it. See, it doesn't matter. I got the money. And then what happens? I think that there's like a, I think it's a 80 or 88% of people who win lottery, win the lottery, are in debt within 2 years.
Yeah. Crazy things happen.
I mean, it's a crazy, correct, you can find that answer online, but, you know, and because that's the perfect example of the devil. He will give you everything.
Right.
And make you believe it's because, you know, oh, anybody can get this. It's not God's blessings. Anybody can see. See,
right.
I can give it to you. And then he'll rip it away like an evil, twisted freak that he is.
Right, exactly.
And he doesn't care because he'll say, where's your God now?
Oh, absolutely.
So he'll try to delay the coming of Jesus as long as he can.
Absolutely. And by so doing, what he tries to do is to get as many people on his team he can, right?
Yep.
And so the whole goal is, if you are already a born-again Christian and you understand that Jesus Christ lives in your heart by faith, and you are trying your best to live the way God wants you to live, we're not saying that the devil can take away your salvation. What we're saying is he condemns you. He comes to you and he lies. And the title of this show today is Don't Buy the Lie. Don't buy the lie. Bill's got a comment here. I see it.
A guy just called in. He says he's glad that you two are not afraid to tell it like it is.
Oh, fantastic. All right.
Amen,
all right. Well, we're glad he called in. All right. And you know, the truth of the matter is, Pastor Michelle, that the devil really does do a great job in a lot of people's minds of deceiving them into thinking that they don't need the word and they don't need God. That they can just get along okay on their own. You know, hey, I got a made man. I'm just doing fine. I'm okay. I don't need God. I'm cool. You know, the world is full of that attitude, don't you think?
I do. And, God, I feel like I'm about to put the cart ahead of the horse here, but...
Go ahead, cart, horse, whatever.
when I feel that way, hey, I'm riding high, you know, I got the word today. I don't have to delve into it anymore. And what I find is, because I'm a believer. I know the Lord's taking care of me. I've got my fire insurance, as we like to say. You know, I know I'm welcome in the kingdom.
Right.
But when I do stray from the word, what I find in my life is chaos.
Right.
I mean, my mind's racing and scattered and. And so with unorganized, and then with that comes more anxiety,
yes.
Frustration, resentment, and the reason why I'm saying that is that's what the devil is doing.
Oh,
he's taking the puzzle that you've pieced together with the word.
Yes.
And he's putting it back in the box and shaking up the box.
Right.
And what that is chaos. And when I'm back in the word, I have this peace.
Amen.
I have this alignment. I know where I'm going. I'm smooth sailing. I'm breezing across the water.
Yes.
Quietly and calmly instead of feeling like I'm in a storm.
Oh, that is such a good analogy. In fact, I think a week or two ago, I mentioned the analogy of the alignment on the car. You know, I haven't had this happen to me recently, but in years past, I've had times where the alignment went out on my SUV. You know, you probably have had that too.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it just pulls you to one direction, and it can pull you straight into traffic. It can pull you into the ditch. It can pull you every direction. And that is a great analogy for what the devil tries to do. And it's like he's got this little, he's standing on your shoulder, you know, whispering in your ear, you know, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to praise God. What is this stuff about learning the word and singing praises to God? You don't need that. You're cool just the way you are. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And remember, he'll just do it to manipulate you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a master of dragging you down this path of getting you to do something. Let's say
deceitfulness.
Yeah, there you go. Getting you to lie, let's say, or get you to get yourself in a big mess somehow, whatever that mess might be, and get you there. And once he's got you there, the devil does not play fair. Because when he gets you there, instead of congratulating you and patting you on the back and telling you how great it is that you went down that path, then what does he do instead of that, Pastor Michelle?
He said, what are you doing that? Why are you going away from God? I thought you were a believer.
Exactly.
You think you can do everything on your own? You're not that great. You're a loser.
In other words, he comes with condemnation, right?
Condemnation, that's right.
Woo! Let's go to Psalm 119, and I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible, and it's verse 25.
Oh, and, 25, okay.
Yeah, I think this might be similar to what this woman caught in adultery felt. I'm feeling terrible. I couldn't feel worse. I can imagine that that was her when she's been thrown down right there in the temple in front of God, Jesus, everybody, you know. Get me on my feet again. You promised, remember? When I told my story, you responded, train me well in your deep wisdom. Help me understand these things inside and out so I can ponder your miracle wonders. My sad life's dilapidated. Wow. A falling down barn. Wow. I've seen some of those in Indiana. In fact, I've taken some pictures recently of a falling down barn near my son's house that kind of cracks me up. It's just all falling apart. It's just kind of interesting. And it's a picture of some of our lives. Actually, I need to do something with that picture because that could be a real metaphor.
It's a good one.
It is, isn't it? Build me up again by your word. Barricade the road that goes nowhere. Grace me with your clear revelation. I choose the true road to somewhere. I post your road signs at every curve and corner. I grasp and cling to whatever you tell me. God, don't let me down. I'll run the course you lay out for me if you'll show me how. And it goes on. But that much of it right there. Are you in the same translation, Pastor Michelle, or do you have another one?
No, Ashley, you know what I did for giggles and grins today is on the computer so I could easily go from one.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
One, I'm a New American Standard, for example, right
cool.
now.
Cool. I love New American Standard.
So, and I can go to King James, New Living Translation, all those. So just so you know, I wanted to just read from different versions.
Okay. What do you think on those verses? That's 25 to 32 from Psalm 119.
I felt it. I mean, it really spoke to my heart because my soul cleaves to the dust.
Ooh.
Isn't that an interesting choice of words? Revive me according to your word.
Yes.
I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes.
Ooh.
Make me understand the way of your precepts.
Yes.
So I will meditate on your wonders.
Wow.
My soul weeps because of grief.
Yeah.
That's one that I really liked is my soul weeps because of grief.
Wow. I bet there's people out there right this moment listening to the sound of our voices, Michelle, that feel this way. Their souls are weeping because of grief in their lives.
Yep. And it could, any grief, any part of their lives. And it says, strengthen me according to your word.
Mm-hmm. Build me up again by your word, it says in the Message Bible. Strengthen me. Build me up in your word. That's what we're doing right now by this broadcast. Go ahead.
Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law.
Amen.
I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. And this is italicized, by the way.
Yeah.
I have placed your ordinances before me.
Amen.
I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart.
Ooh, hallelujah. Let's go on. Go on down there with verse 33. Go on.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart.
Amen.
Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it.
Mm.
Incline my heart to your testimonies and do not to dishonest gain.
Amen.
That's what the devil's going to try to do.
Exactly. Yes.
Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your way.
Mm.
Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Let me read this in the Message Bible, the last few verses there that you just did. I'm not sure which verse it starts on. Divert my eyes from toys and trinkets.
Uh-huh.
Invigorate me on the pilgrim way. Affirm your promises to me. And that's what we're doing right here on this radio show today. We are reminding everyone of God's promises and what he wants to do in our lives because we're not going to accept the lies of the devil. We're not going to buy the lie. Affirm your promises to me, promises made to all who fear you.
Amen.
Yep. Deflect the harsh words of my critics, but what you say is always so good. See how hungry I am for your counsel. preserve my life through your righteous ways. I love that section of Psalm 119 that David wrote. And it is so powerful here to us about the answer that God has given us when the devil comes and tries to take us, like it said here in the Message Bible, down the road to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. The road to nowhere. And instead he says, I choose the true road to somewhere.
Amen.
Nowhere versus somewhere. Do you want to comment on that? Woo.
Well, we know where somewhere is, right?
Where is somewhere, Pastor Michelle?
That's God's kingdom.
That's right.
Eternal life in God's kingdom.
Amen.
Remember, he has a place for us.
Yes.
He's making our room up right now.
Woo, he's making it up. Yeah.
Just as a sidebar to this psalm, as I'm reading it, and, I speak to myself as well as anybody else who needs to hear what I'm about to say. From the very, very beginning when we started reading this, David's saying, hey, you know what? My soul cleaves in the dust. I'm messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm messed up. I'm messed up emotionally. I'm messed up physically, whatever, okay?
Right.
I've done some icky things, whatever. But you know what, God? I'm here for you. I'm opening up my heart
Amen.
To you.
Amen.
I'm pleading to you. I am humble before you.
Yes. Yes.
So fill me up, fill me up with your mercy. Fill
Amen.
Me up with your grace.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, I'm down and out. I'm in this grief. I have this grief. My soul's weeping. Fill me up. And as he works his way into the Lord.
Yes, he does.
He's acknowledging his being on Icky Island, and he takes
right.
himself off with the
yeah.
strength of the Lord. And I think what we need to get from this is, acknowledge you're in a bad place. Acknowledge, whatever, you've screwed up, you've made mistakes, you've
right.
made poor choices. Okay, get it over and done with. Get it out of your system. Speak it.
Exactly.
Okay, so the devil knows what you've done.
Right.
The devil knows you know what you've done now, and you're asking forgiveness for the Lord, and work yourself out of it.
Amen.
Woo. And then ask the Lord for the forgiveness and believe. Now, once you get that done, then you say, hey, you know what? I know you've answered me.
Exactly.
And I know I've been in this place before, and I'm asking you for those answers again. I'm asking for those blessings again, and I know you will. And then at the very end, he's going, and hallelujah and pray, amen.
Exactly.
Like, I'm here for you. I'm going to abide by your commandments, your rules, your law is what
right.
saves me. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing.
No, that's
but,
okay. No, you got the right idea. This is exactly what he's saying. Yeah.
And then what I'm learning here from David is through the strength that God gives us,
right?
Through God's strength, through the Word that He has given us, through the living Word that He has given us,
yes,
we can get out of this.
Amen.
Junk.
We can get out of it, and that's the words of hope we want to give right now to our listening audience. We can get out of it. Let's look at before we play this next song, verse 49. And I think it's 49 and 50. And in the Message Bible, maybe you can read it in where you are too here. Remember what you said to me, your servant. I hang on to those words for dear life. These words hold me up in bad times. Yes, your promises rejuvenate me.
Amen.
What does yours say? I think it's yours says, like, words revive me and give me life, something like that.
It said, remember your word, the word to your servant in which you have made me hope.
Ooh, amen.
And just as a FYI, this just popped into my head. Remember what God wants us to say. Hey, remember? God wants us to remind him.
Absolutely, he does.
Okay, and this is what we're doing. And,
yes.
and you know what? I think he has a big old grin from ear to ear when he hears us. Like, oh, they know my word.
Yes.
They get it. So when you remind him of his word, remember the word to your servant, Lord.
Yes.
Remember what you said. You told me you made this promise in which you made me hope. You have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction.
That's right.
That your word has revived me.
Oh, I love that. One of my favorite verses. It's Psalm 119, verse 50.
Yeah.
It's all about the word. When we, if you get a snake bite or an insect bite, Have you ever had some bite? I know Catherine has, where she's had to take something, right? As an antidote? I forget what it is, but you know what I'm talking about.
Gosh, yes, I'm there. It's blah, blah, blah.
Okay. But when
the antidote, the antidote for the infection or whatever.
For the infection, okay. If you get bit by something, you know, and you are, ooh, which reminds me of this big old snake that came into my house. Oh, my gosh, I got to tell this real quick. Actually, let's go to this song, and then when we come back from this break, this song, I'll tell you about the snake, and we'll see how all this correlates right here. It does. And this is one of my favorite songs we play on the air a lot. New song, Defining Moment.
There comes a time in every heart, a time of real decision. Our lives, all our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say, I am yours, Lord, take my hand and lead the way. When you believe, He's all you need, that will be defining moment as you live your life, walking in His light, trusting Him completely. That will be your defining moment. All I have, all I am, is that He'll make me everything that I should be. I believe I will die for the cause He set before me, to take this love inside my heart for all the world to see. Oh, all of heaven celebrates when they hear someone say,
song. I love that song.
Too.
Isn't that a cool song? I wrote down some of the words when it was playing. Your defining moment when you believe He's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be your defining moment when you're walking in His light, trusting Him completely. Wow. Oh, I want to tell you about the snake real quick. Michelle, you probably remember this story about 3 years back.
Mm-hmm.
Great big old snake. I was laying on my sofa in my family room watching TV, and my dogs, Bailey and Zoe, were kind of hanging out with me. And Bailey's a little half Yorkie, half Maltese, cute as a button. And Zoe Grace is a little miniature dachshund, and she's just all mouth, you know. And so she barks at everything, gets Bailey all stirred up. So that particular evening, I had fallen asleep watching TV, and they went into the hall and stood at the hall and started barking like crazy. And there was nobody home. It was just me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, stop, stop. You know, I'm yelling at them from the sofa because I don't want to get up. I'm real comfy, you know. Mm-hmm. And after a few minutes of that, I realized they were going nuts, and they weren't going to stop. And so looked in the hallway, there was this huge, it was about Ooh, what was that? Ooh, that sounded like a snake. Thanks, Bill.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, there was this great, I don't know how big a round it was, but it was huge. I mean, it wasn't a little tiny snake or anything. It has all different colors. Humongous thing in the hallway looking at me and just doing what you just did, Bill, that hissing thing, you know? And I was just, like, freaked, not knowing what to do. I called my brother-in-law because they lived two doors down. They were gone for the evening. Nobody answered any phones. I looked across the street. Neighbors were gone for the evening. It was a Friday evening. People were out doing stuff. I called 911 or 411 or whatever it was, 911, I guess. And they said, oh, yeah, we have a snake unit. You know, we'll send them right out. And they said, keep your eye on him. I said, what? Keep your eye? And they said, oh, yeah, yeah, follow him. Make sure you follow him, you know. Well, he goes into what had become my dad's bedroom, and Dad was not there, but he went in there. And then I couldn't find him. And then as it turned out, I found him behind the door. But I just really didn't want to get too close to the whole thing. But long story short, by the time they got there, they had a way with him of tricking him basically to wind himself around a pole that they had, you know. I don't know. Have you ever seen that done, Michelle?
No, I haven't.
It was bizarre. Okay. And I'm just like, get him out of here. Get him out of here, you know. Bill has a comment.
Was it a poisonous snake?
They said it was. And they said, you know, it was. I don't know what kind. I don't remember now.
Probably a pygmy rattle.
Okay. I don't know. It was about that big around. So, I don't know. It was huge. Anyway, long story short, they got him. They recovered him and secured him and got him out of there. But when you come face to face with something like that, it does something to you, don't you think? I mean, it's just like, and when you think that the devil is a type of a serpent is a type of the devil. And so often we can have him right in our house, Michelle, and not even, I mean, I was asleep on the sofa. He could have been on the sofa with me, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
You know? So take that and do something with it.
Well, it's exactly that. Is you get so, we get busy being busy.
We get complacent. Yeah, we get busy.
Mm-hmm. And what happens is, while we're busy being busy, you know, we stray from the Lord.
Right.
And that's you know, the Satan's opportunistic.
Yes.
I mean, he watches, he sees what's happening. Now, he doesn't know what's going on in your head, but he sees what's happening in your life.
Exactly.
So when
he hears what comes out.
And not filling yourself up with the living word. And,
amen.
And not, you know, asking the Lord for guidance and that sort of thing. You know, with that comes, protection.
Amen.
And that protection, we all are protected. I don't want you to misunderstand that, but, you know, confidence in that protection.
Absolutely.
That, so when you get attacked, you're like, oh, well, you identify it, you expose them, and you rebuke them. But when you're busy being busy, the devil moves right into your spare bedroom.
Well, I don't have any idea when he came in the house. You know, I don't know if you remember that house, Michelle. I don't live there anymore.
Yeah, I sure do.
I used to leave the back door open, you know, out to the back, great big backyard, and Bailey and Zoe would just go in and out, you know.
Yeah.
And so at some point, this thing came in with, I mean, this huge thing. It was about 3 feet long, about as long as a yardstick. This thing came in sometime that I did not see him come from out there, go through. He had to go through the kitchen and the dining room to get to that hallway. I mean, that's scary stuff, you know?
Because he sneaks in when you're sleeping.
I was.
That's how Satan is.
Exactly.
He literally sneaks in while you're sleeping. And that's why I was saying using busy being busy. When you're rushing and rocking and rolling, you're shaking and moving, and you're getting this done, and you're taking care of that.
Right.
And you don't take time out, even just for a small prayer of thanks.
Right.
You know, the devil's like, oh, she's, I know she's going to turn. I'm going to just sneak right over here behind this door.
Yep, exactly.
And then it's kind of like a cockroach.
Like a cockroach?
You know what I mean? A cockroach, they'll find their way in.
Yeah.
And then they start breeding and they set in.
Oh, that's true.
And then it's an infestation before you know it.
Oh, it's exactly. And really, this is what we're saying. These are the tricks of the devil that we want to expose today. Because when we are not full of the Word of God, we can get ourselves into some of the biggest messes. This woman in John chapter 8 got herself into a situation of adultery. Not only did she get herself into that mess, but somebody saw her and caught her in the very act, you know? And you talk about how did she feel when they threw her on the floor in the temple courtyard in front of Jesus. I mean, you talk about humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what the devil tried to do. He tried to trap Jesus with that situation. He tried to get the woman killed, you know? I mean, Satan's out to kill you and destroy you. Remember, John 10:10 says, Jesus said this. It's words in red in your Bible in John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief, meaning Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. Do you know, I think I quote that scripture on this show all the time, Pastor Michelle, all the time, because I want to expose the fact that the devil comes to steal from you, take your peace of mind, take your joy, take your possessions, take your finances, take those in your life that are support for you. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you want to comment on any of that? Got to get a drink of water.
I mean, and if people can just get that simple thought and embrace it, because the devil is your enemy.
Absolutely.
The devil want you to win. Does your enemy seek of an opponent?
Yeah.
In a sporting event. Do you think they want to, like baseball, the baseball season?
Yes.
Do you think the pitcher wants to throw you a nice fastball down the middle so you can knock it out of the field for a home run? No. Your opponent wants you to lose.
Exactly.
Because they want to win.
Exactly.
Simple. Satan wants you to lose.
Exactly.
Wants you to lose your sanity.
Right.
Wants you to lose your peace of mind.
Amen.
Wants you to lose your comfort. He wants you to lose everything.
Your health. Everything.
Your health.
Yes.
Your physical being, your finances, everything.
Your job.
He wants nothing good for you.
Exactly. And he's a liar, so he's going to come to you, and you've got to learn to distinguish his voice from your own thoughts and from God trying to speak to you. And for a lot of people, that is hard to learn to distinguish. But you just said something a minute ago, Pastor Michelle, which is a key to all this. You said chaos earlier, did you not?
Yes.
You want to elaborate on peace versus chaos?
Does it feel good? It's peace.
Right.
Does it feel icky? It's chaos.
That's pretty simple.
And I'm saying it simply on purpose.
Right.
Because the devil wants you to start analyzing that and defining it and dissecting it. Well, what exactly is peace?
Yeah.
Is peace, you know, when I have $500,000 in the bank account? Is it, the devil wants you to do, because you see where he's distracting you.
Exactly.
He's bringing you
distractions.
Off,
yes.
Off track.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to try to even figure out what's stinking peace is.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
You know what peace is.
Right. You know
how
it feels.
Are you rested? That's peace.
Exactly.
Is your mind racing like a Jimmy Johnson around a NASCAR Daytona 500 track?
Right.
That's chaos.
Right. That's chaos.
If you're having heart palpitations, high blood pressure, anxiety, trying to need to take a drink, the only way to calm you down, smoke a cigarette, the only way that calms your nerves.
Right.
You know, how many times have we heard this? I've done it. I'm an ex-smoker.
Yeah.
You know, I just need a cigarette to calm my nerves.
Right.
I didn't know what to do until I didn't know what to do until I asked Pastor Michelle.
That's right. Now you know, right? Because you are so right. You are so right. Because this is the stuff the devil says you cannot get any relief from, that anxious feeling within you, unless you take, let's say, 3 or 4 drinks or try that drug or do this, because you got to calm down.
How about go spend money?
Oh.
Go play the slots.
Exactly.
You know, go play a couple of rounds of blackjack.
Right.
Go spend
all your paycheck
$100 on on those new clothes.
Right. Oh, there's people that are as addicted to shopping as other people are to drugs and alcohol.
Because
you know?
It makes them feel good. It's
exactly.
Just like overeaters.
Yes.
That's all from the devil. None of that is from the Lord.
Boy, we are hitting some major things here, Michelle.
I agree. I mean, and
it's true.
It's none of that. None of that. Those questions of worthiness, that it's not from God.
Well, let's look at this lady who committed adultery in John 8. Don't you think she must have been seeking something? She's obviously already married, mm-hmm. and she commits adultery and runs the risk of being caught and stoned to death. You know,
yeah, and she knew the laws.
I mean, yeah, she knew the laws. We don't even have a law like that here in the United States, praise God, where you can get stoned for something like that. But she knew that she was running a big risk. And so often people, for the thrill of the, you know what I'm saying, for the thrill of it, of doing
that need for an adrenaline rush.
Exactly.
And you don't have that need if God is fulfilling that need.
Amen.
That's the whole dealio here. And it's just what God, Connie always talks about, is that God-shaped hole. If you have this need for an adrenaline rush, or this addiction, you know, this need to communers with a cigarette, or go throw a couple of coins in a slot, or go spend money, go commit adultery, if that need's there, there's something missing.
Exactly.
And so you're looking for something to fulfill that void.
Amen. And we are going to, and this is, we are exposing right now, let me just spit this out here. We are exposing the tricks of the devil to try to get you to go down a path that is not good for you. Even, let's just say it's nothing to do with things like gambling, drugs, or alcohol. Let's say that it is something as what seems to be benign as worry. Worry is one of your biggest enemies, because worry takes you out of the realm of trusting God and walking in that peace. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. It's as simple as that. I don't think I need to elaborate.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the major tricks of the devil. If he can get your attention on the circumstances in your life and get your attention off of God's answer for those circumstances, that is where he wants you. In this next hour, we're going to expose more of this, and we're going to talk about Jesus being the light of the world and what Jesus has to say about the devil. And we're going to talk more about that. Michelle, can you tell our listening audience what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope?
I certainly can, but whoo, are they missing some good stuff right now.
Isn't it great?
Oh, it is. It really is.
Woo!
Let me
good old
give
Pastor
you the,
Jim.
The commercial for the what normally happens Wednesday nights. You know, we have a prayer little meeting prior to that. We pray and ask for prayer requests and ask for praise reports, because I think that's sometimes more important than your prayer requests, because the praise reports is our testimonies,
yes.
and they're faith builders. So
Amen.
When you enter your prayer requests, you know, you believe that it's gonna God's gonna do it even more.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens at about 6:15, doesn't it?
Yeah, about then.
Mm-hmm. Then immediately following that is at 7:00 we have a Bible study, and it's an interactive study of the Bible.
Yep.
And by that is we have a teaching of the Bible, and then we interact, and everybody there shares their thoughts, asks questions, and there are no questions that are frowned upon. Everything's is welcome, because
absolutely
99.9% of the time somebody else has the same question. The reason why it's so exciting is because there's so many different types of people there that have so many different types of perspectives.
Yes, it is
on
cool.
the word.
Yes,
and believers, you know, fulfilling, you know, want to be fulfilled even more. And what's happening right now is Pastor Jim is doing a series on our Jewish roots.
Yes,
because reality is, we all have our Jewish roots.
That's right.
Jesus was a Jew.
Right.
And he made the ultimate sacrifice.
And we're part of that family.
And mm-hmm. we are part of that family, and we need to acknowledge that. Just mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm a Heinz 57. I have Irish, German, England, English, you know, French, Canadian, Indian, all that. But, you know, I my roots are those. You
right.
know, the Irish roots. I know the Irish roots.
Yeah.
And we need to know what makes us who we are.
Right.
As Christians.
Exactly.
And Pastor Jim is doing a remarkable job.
He really is.
Of teaching us
yes.
that and learning the importance of knowing that, why it's important to know that. And it's real exciting.
It really is. We welcome anybody to join us Wednesday nights at 3700 Almerton. In Clearwater, that's where we are, Suite 206. So we welcome you. And we got to do station identification. Michelle, are you staying on? You got to go.
Yeah, I have a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Can do a quick talk. Is Connie coming on?
She's coming on in just a few minutes, yes. So let's do station identification. Hang with us.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. We welcome all those new stations that are a part of this Tan Talk family now. And there's quite a few of them. And so welcome to each one of you. We would love to hear from you. We have a prayer line. And Pastor Michelle, I'd like for you to tell them how they can access that and why they would need it. And, you know, we are hearing from prayer requests a couple weeks ago from Australia. They're just all over. And why do they need this email address?
The biggest thing is it's one of the most remarkable means of support.
Yes, it really is.
And the power of prayer.
Yes.
The Lord said when two
yes.
or more come into agreement, your prayer is answered.
Yes.
Well, we got a lot more than two.
Yeah, that prayer team is getting bigger and bigger.
It sure is. And so it's the power of prayer. And again, you know, it's a support. It's a great support. So you can email us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you just punch that in, and it goes out to people. They're prayer warriors.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's on that email. It comes in through to a couple of the lead prayer warriors, and then they send it out with a prayer.
Yes.
To that corresponds with that specific prayer request.
Right.
And then it goes out to all the prayer warriors, and they're scattered all around the United States.
Right.
And
anybody can be on it. You don't have to be a member.
Be on it. And we all, once we get that email, we say, oh, you know, we pray
yes.
for the success of Pastor Marsha's radio show and Beacon of Hope, and praying the power of abundant attendance. And
sure.
everybody says that many different times.
Right.
And it's a huge, huge, huge support group. And we also send, you know, updates like, hey, hallelujah, praise God, we had a healing of so-and-so, and
right.
they have found negative results in their medical screening, and they're back on the high life road.
There's been so many that have been healed of cancer, haven't there?
Yes, so many.
Yes. So, I don't know about you, but it's just a blessing to me. When I see those requests come in on my email, I love to see them because I know people are reaching out with their need, and I know, and you know, that God's going to move in their behalf.
Amen. And then, it's a faith builder for us because
yes.
we see those.
We sure do. It's mighty, absolutely. So we thank God for all those that send in their requests. And you said it. Let's say it one more time. If you have a pen and you can write it down, if you ever need prayer, it doesn't matter, 24/7, 365, the email address is prayers@BeaconofHopeMinistries, that ends in IES.com, BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. That's also our web address, which is www.BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. You can actually go there to our site. We're going to be having Pastor Jim's teachings on the website soon. We recorded my sermon this morning, and that's going to be on there soon. And even our old radio shows. Pastor Michelle, do you want to comment on that, how they can listen to those if they miss any of them?
Sure. You just go to our website, which is beaconofhopeministries.com, and you'll see a little section that says past radio shows. You click on that, and you can listen to them anytime.
Anytime. In your pajamas
anytime.
In the middle of the night, right?
You know, it's and they're titled, so you have an idea of, like, for example, today's will be something like, you know, exposing the lie of the devil.
Don't buy the lie today.
Don't buy the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And you can click on it and say, you know, I'm having really, you know, the devil's knocking on my back door and he's trying to challenge me. I need to listen to something. And you pop it in at 2 a.m., 2
right.
p.m., any time of the day and listen to it and build your faith and belief.
Woo, absolutely. Connie will join us in a minute. Grace Tells Another Story by Mercy Me.
They say don't waste your time. You simply cannot find an ounce of good within the heart of man. They say we've got to lay in the bed we've made and live this life without a second chance. But
that's a good song. Connie, are you with us?
Yes.
Yes, there you are. Hey. Go ahead. Who's saying? Go ahead, Michelle. Did you want to say something to her?
I just said hi there to Connie, and she said hi there back.
Oh, okay. I missed it. All right. Connie, did you hear Michelle mention the God-shaped hole concept that you have?
I did.
And do you want to elaborate on that? And I think Michelle will respond to you. I'll let you two dialogue on that for a second while I get a drink of water. What does that mean?
From the beginning of time, God knew what was going to happen with us. And he created Adam and Eve because he wanted to have a relationship with us. And I think that I feel like he has created a spot that only he can fill in our lives, in our hearts, that it's a God-shaped hole.
Right.
And only he's the one that can fill us up in that part. There's always going to be something missing. You know how you feel you feel like you're just missing the boat on something.
Right.
And just don't feel quite complete. Until he's a part and fills that part of your heart, you're always going to feel that way.
Absolutely. Pastor Michelle, what's your comment on that tour?
I've always liked that analogy, and my biggest thing is my analogy that directly correlates to that is, you know, when you leave the house and you're like, oh, man, I'm forgetting something. You know, mm-hmm. I got my keys, I got my phone, I got my watch. God, I feel like, what am I forgetting? That feeling is the feeling to me.
Mm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
when you're praying and you know, you know, apply it to that part of your life where you're feeling the chaos versus the peace.
Right.
You know, when there's a lot of chaos in your life, maybe in your relationship, your work life, that kind of chaos, and you're feeling like, what is it? You know, drop to your knees and pray.
You know, and that is exactly right. And God has a special place in our hearts where He belongs. Okay, where His truth belongs. And going back to John 8, about verse 31, Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in Him. And He said this, "If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you." Pastor Michelle, do you want to read 31 and 32 in your translation there and comment, and then we'll hear Connie's comment here.
Which one?
John 8, 31 and 32.
John 8, give me a chance. I did not catch on to that. Hang on.
Okay, John 8, 31 and 32. After all that incident with the woman caught in adultery, right. You know, He turns to the Jews who claim to believe in Him, you know, and said this.
"And you will know the truth."
Mm-hmm.
John 8, oh, I lost it. John 8, 20.
31 and 32.
Here we go, 31, 32. "The truth will make you free."
Mm-hmm.
"So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My word,
right,
then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free."
Exactly.
The thing I like is will, you know, and we do this a lot at Beacon, but, you know, the will, you know, if it's not an if or maybe I'll think about it, it's you will know the truth, and you will, the truth will make you free. It doesn't, well, we'll think about making you free. "They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? You will become free." Do you want me to read on?
Yeah, you can. Go ahead for these next couple verses, because they didn't understand. They thought that He was talking about being actual slaves, like,
right.
You know,
they,
go ahead.
And He didn't get it was to the, okay.
Mm-mm.
"Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you," a little emphasis there,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Mm-hmm.
"Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed."
Amen. So the devil comes to try to keep you from being free and from acknowledging that there is that God-shaped hole within us that can only be filled up by God and His Word. Connie, what's your comment on that?
Well, the devil tries to fill us, show us all these things that we might want
mm-hmm.
to fill that space.
Oh,
drugs,
yeah.
Sex, drinking, you know, all kinds of things that the worldly things that he makes enticing to us or tantalizing to us in order to try to fill that spot. But he's stupid enough to believe that he thinks he can fill it. We
right.
know that the only person that can fill it is God.
Yeah, that's a good point, Connie. The devil is stupid enough to think that he can fill that place reserved for God and His Word, you know? When the Word is doing something in our lives and we're hearing it preached or taught, and it's filling up that void. Pastor Michelle, do you want to comment on that? What happens when the anointed Word is coming forth and it's going into you? What happens to you? I'm just going to pick on you. And then we'll go to Connie. I want to know what happens to you when that's happening.
I'm going to try to describe it best I can with something that people can feel, but, you know, I've been working out in the yard
mm-hmm.
Since I got home from church, and I'm filthy from head to toe. I cleaned out the gutters. I had to trim a gigantua tree limb back. I had to blow leaves. I have dirt and muck in my hair.
I bet you look cute.
Yeah, right. I do with my
and smell
all
good too.
Me.
Yeah,
and you know that's when you're in that state of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the shower and
mm-hmm.
a nice hot
yes
shower.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you step into that, It washes all the ick and dirt
Amen.
And the chaos away. And not only does it wash it all away, but you have your muscles start to relax.
Right.
You know, your skin feels fresh and clean and exfoliated, and you know, you're starting to feel better and relaxed and rested, and that's peace.
Ooh.
And that's what happens when the anointing of God is over me.
Yes.
I'm just filled with this I almost said overwhelming, but it's never overwhelming. It's an overpowering
Ooh,
feeling
praise
of
God.
Peace and happiness and restfulness.
And cleanness. You know, Isaiah said that your sins will be washed as, they will be as snow, you know, be as white as snow,
mm-hmm.
you know. And David said that God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sin from us. And God forgives, it says in Psalm 103, verse 3, he forgives all your diseases. I mean, he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. So
Amen.
There are no exceptions here. When you go to God with a heart of sincerity, he cleans you up. When you step in that shower and turn on the water, you're not expecting to come out being as filthy, dirty, and stinky as you were when you went in, right?
Right, exactly. And that's why I use that analogy, because, I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't feel refreshed
after you have a shower.
Come out of the shower, whether they're filthy, dirty from yard work or, you know, a long day work mentally.
There you go. Connie, what's your comment on that? Nurse Connie?
Well, I keep hearing thy word is the light unto your path.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, somebody had an old picture with a Bible with a light.
Yes.
And actually, I was trying to think who that was, and as I was thinking about it, I realized that bazillion years ago, when I was first saved and baptized, my Sunday school teacher wrote that inside a Bible that she gave me on my baptismal day.
Ooh, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, the word has a light and shines on the truth.
Yes.
So that we know what the truth is. Just like we talked the song, Voice of Truth.
Yes.
You know, the devil tells us lies, tries to trick us. You know, he hates our guts.
Exactly.
He wants our soul to die.
Right.
And we need to realize what kind of games that he plays.
Absolutely.
In order to be on guard.
Well, and it's so subtle, don't you think, both of you, that it's subtle how he creeps in and he gets you to buy the lie by keeping you so busy. So often we are so busy with everything else going on in our lives that we don't take time to sit down. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we've got to have the word. And we buy the lies so often that we can go days on end, or maybe till next Sunday when the pastor's preaching, we'll crack our Bible open.
Uh-huh.
We buy the lie that we don't need this word of God. You know, Connie, you're first on that comment, and then Michelle. Because you're both on the phone.
Yeah, we need to bring it in from the car on the way home from church.
Yeah.
Not leave it to crack on the dash.
Mm-hmm.
But, he tries to tell us that we're, you know, we're good. We don't need that. You know, he's the deceiver, and what he doesn't want is for us to get stronger and to be able to fight him.
Exactly.
And know his tricks and learn his dastardly deeds and how he behaves. And, you know, once you start reading the word, the light comes on about what the devil does and how he does things. So then you can start thinking about things that have happened in your life and say, ah, that jerk did this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We suffer needlessly sometimes. Go ahead. Yeah.
Exactly.
So often it's been the trick, the scheme, the lie, the trap, if you will, that has been laid for us so that we do get over there in anxiety, fear, chaos, and all those things. Michelle, did you have a comment to that she was saying?
Well, yeah, and I think the thing is we need to figure out how to do that, because, you know, the reality is you know, the devil's going to say, oh, you're busy, busy, you don't have time for that. And the reality is you are busy.
Yeah.
But you have to make time for that. And one of the things that I did is I asked Connie, and bless her soul, and I mean that earnestly, to make me some CDs, because she had made me some time ago, and they just got wore out and scratched and that sort of thing. Because in most of your Christian music, the word is in that.
Yeah.
You hear the word.
Yeah.
And that's how those respective artists, I really felt as though, I feel as though they've been led to create that song, and the word is within the song, and that's a good way to start.
Exactly.
And then, because a lot of us are like, well, I don't even know where to open the book. Well, start listening to the music, and you start hearing it, and you pray to God, and you'll be led to read what verse.
Right.
Like right now, I'm really led to start reading Revelation so I can hear about the kingdom and hear about what it's all about, and the you know, the end of the book, the end of the story,
right.
You know.
Sure.
And that's because I've been praying on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where should I go in the book? Where should I go in the book? Well, I don't even know. You know, there's so much to start. I want to do this. Well, that's Satan. Believe it or not, he's going to use the Bible against you by trying to create chaos. Like, you don't even know where to start in the book. It's too complicated. So that's why I said, Connie, could you make some CDs for me? That alone brings peace. It relaxes, and then
Amen.
It'll get you back in alignment to where you'll be able to hear God lead you in the Word.
Absolutely. Connie, do you have a comment to all that?
No.
Oh, I love it when she says no.
No, praise and worship music helps get your head on straight all the time.
No matter what. It does.
If you're in a good frame of mind or a bad frame of mind, mm-hmm. it's just always positive and helps to open your heart and open your eyes.
Well, before we get to this song, I want to just talk about for a second John 8:42, where Jesus starts talking about the liar, the devil, the liar. And he's talking to these religious leaders, and he says, if God were your father, you would love me. He is putting them on the spot and saying, you know what, you may be religious, but you don't know God. You know, he's not your father, because he said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word I say? Here's why. Now Jesus is extremely blunt. You can't handle it. You're from your father, the devil, and all you want to do is please him. He was a killer from the very start. He couldn't stand the truth. There wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes up out of his lying nature and fills the world with lies. And then he goes on to say that when Jesus came on the scene, he says, I tell you the plain truth, and you refuse to have a thing to do with it. And he goes on to really make a point here. The truth is what sets us free, which brings all the pieces of our lives together. The lies of the devil have got to be figured out and refused. And this song is for you, Michelle. Connie put it on for you. And you know what, Bill? Let's go to track 6 instead of 5. We're going to reverse these, because this is for Michelle right now.
You can't go on, 'cause you had it all and watched it fall away. You feel betrayed, 'cause everything's gone wrong. Can't find the strength to hope for a better day. We may not understand the reasons, but I take your pain, he's gonna take your doubt, yeah, he's gonna bring it all together, gonna make you happy, he's gonna make you laugh out loud, yeah, he's gonna bring it all together for good.
wondering if the struggle means anything. If you realized that it's in his hands, you'll find the peace that sweet surrender brings.
Wow. Natalie Grant and Wynonna. I love that song. Michelle, yeah, do you have a too. Comment that's, there?
Yeah, you know, that's why I love that song, is because, you know what? He's going to take your pain, he's going to take your doubt, and he's going to bring it all together.
Exactly.
And it's all going to be all right.
It is.
And there's going to be struggle, there's going to be heartache and pain and frustrations and that sort of thing, but you just got to keep forging forward. You got to run the races, Paul said.
Amen. Amen. Connie, what do you comment on that, besides putting that on there for Michelle and our listening audience?
Well, I'm thinking, did I put that song on those CDs, Michelle?
I haven't got through all of them, but I don't know.
I don't know if I did.
One of her favorite songs.
I know.
That's funny.
I love that song. Of course, I love Natalie Grant is so phenomenal.
Yeah, she's just, definitely anointed.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. The songs that she writes and sings, they're just out of this world. And then, of course, Wynonna, you know, how could you ever go on with her?
Yes.
But that whole song is just tying it all up in a package, you know?
Right.
It really is. And that's then tell me, I mean, I'll be shocked if anybody calls in and say they didn't feel the anointing.
Right. That song is powerful.
That song is, you know.
Yeah.
Pastor Michelle, I know you need to go here in a minute. Why don't you kind of sum up what you would like communicated today? And then, Connie, can you stay with me a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, because she's on her way to work. But go ahead, because I know you have a place to be and all that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's just like that song is when you get into it, and David said at the very beginning as well, is, you know, acknowledge the crap you're going through.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
And that's what it is. And then drop to your knees and say, hey, you know, this stinks. I don't like it. And God, remember, you told me to remind you, this is what you have for your servant. I am your
Amen.
Servant.
Mm-hmm.
And then let him know, you know, what your responsibilities are. You have to believe in the word. You got to read
yes.
the word.
Yes.
You start believing in it more and more, and your faith is built stronger. And then you know what? You're going to be prepared to go and recruit other people to experience the same level of peace as you have.
Amen. Amen. So it's time to quit buying the lie, right?
Yep. And go out there, as I said, in church today.
Yes.
Don't let the devil think that you can't speak loudly and boldly
right.
and triumphantly.
Right.
God loves me, and he wants the best for me.
Amen. Amen. You've been a source of joy, and this has been a fun show.
It has.
I appreciate your time, and we hope you go take a shower.
Yeah. I still have a little bit of more work to do, so I'll take a shower in about another hour.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you guys.
We love you, too. Thanks a lot for being on.
Sure. Bye-bye.
All right. Dear Con, you're on the way to work here tonight, I know. And, you know, Michelle mentioned earlier, you know, about this place in our heart. And we talk about this a lot on Living the Good Life because we were created in the image of God. And God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. And so often, don't you think, Connie, the devil gets in and tries to tell us that we're worthless. God doesn't have a purpose for us. Do you want to comment on that? And people get so discouraged with their lives and their situations.
Yeah, they get discouraged and they just feel like, you know, I told this story before, but I remember Zig Ziglar telling a story about a boy who didn't have parents and he wanted to go to church, but he was afraid to go to church because, you know, he would have to go in and he wasn't dressed well and they would judge him and, you know, who are you and, you know, and he would come into church and then leave. He'd sit in the back row and then leave early. Well, the pastor would see him, but he couldn't catch him. And so he somehow made it back, kind of like what you did to me.
Right.
Made it to the back of the church. I think
sounds familiar.
Cheers. and he said, "Whose boy are you?" And he, you know, kind of stuttered. They were said, "Oh, I know who you are. The resemblance is so amazing. You're a child of the king."
Amen.
So, you know, that just says it all.
It does. Oh.
We all are, you know, nobody is better than somebody else.
Right.
And we all deserve the kingdom, the ransom from the kingdom.
Absolutely. And it's all about God's grace. And we were talking this morning in the service about John chapter 1. And those of you out in listening audience, begin to read the book of John if you don't have any other part of the Bible you're studying right now. Because John really points to Jesus. I love the picture that John gives of Jesus because this is the book where you see all the I ams, where Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the resurrection and the life," where he says, "I am the good shepherd," where he says here in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." The book of John points us to who Jesus is. And then in this same chapter of John 8, Jesus goes on to elaborate on him being the light. And he's saying, you know what? You cannot listen to the voice of the devil. You have got to learn to listen to the voice of truth. And that's one reason I love that song that you put up first today, Connie, on the show, The Voice of Truth. Can you elaborate a little bit on the light versus darkness in our lives and what the devil tries to do and just go wherever God leads you to go with it?
Okay. The light in my mind, the light is God and Jesus. The dark is the devil.
Right.
And anything that is done that is evil, nasty, or undermining, anything that you could attribute to the devil is the dark.
Right.
And the light is what we do for us, what we do for others, what we do for the kingdom. And being able to see the works of the devil by using the light.
Right.
And the word is also the light.
Absolutely. Yes. And we've got to get it down on the inside of us. And we talked earlier in the show about the importance of the word. And, you know, I'm back in John chapter 8, verses 31, 32. Jesus said, "If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you." You know, the truth is that God wants us free. He does not want us to be condemned by the devil. He wants us to learn to distinguish the voice of the devil and say, "Wait a minute, no, no, no. I'm not buying that lie. I refuse to buy the lie." And the lie can have a form of, you know, "You're not worthy. God can never use you," or, boy, if anybody knew what you did or what was going on in your head, or you know what? You want to elaborate on that, Connie? Do you know what I'm saying? The lies that the devil tries to trip us up with. And really, God is saying, you got to look for truth. You got to figure out truth versus lies. You want to talk on that?
I think it's in Hebrews when they're talking about throwing off all that entangles us to run the race that we were meant to run.
To Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Yes. Yes.
Our race to the end. And throwing off all those lies and being able to stay untangled,
right,
by all the junk,
right,
that he tries to put on us.
And it's a battle, you know. I love Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. In fact, I will turn there real quick in my little NIV Bible here, the real cute one that I have, the green one. You know, I really like that little Bible for some reason. But anyway,
you can read it.
I know. I can. I like it. Hebrews 12. I love these two verses. I know the print. I know it's very small. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. And that would be the lies that the devil comes at us with, right? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and that can be worry, anxiety, fear. That's all sin, dear listener. If anything that keeps you from God's word and keeps you from being free is sin, this is sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance. I love that. The race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Connie, last night I talked to my youngest son, Mark. You know him well. And Mark ran in a race in Jacksonville yesterday. Mark's a law professor in Jacksonville, and he is a member of a couple running clubs. And one of the, there was a group that ran yesterday, a big race, 500 people in it, and they were attorneys, all of these people.
Oh.
And it was for, you know, law students and attorneys and so forth. Anyway, he called last night, and we were rejoicing over the victory of Butler, because Butler is the place that my dad got his divinity degree from, Butler University in Indianapolis, and they're in now the final game of the men's basketball championship tomorrow night. So go Butler, and my dad up in heaven is like rejoicing. But that is a side note from what I was going to say, in that Mark told me yesterday morning before the race, he said, you know, I've just really been focusing and concentrating and working on my form and working on my endurance. And he told me all these things he's been doing, you know, to improve. And he said, I think I'll probably come in, you know, in the top 10 of this race of 500 people. And I thought, wow, that's cool. Look at that confidence. Okay. Guess what, Connie? He called last night. He goes, Mom, I came in second. He just missed first place out of 500 attorneys running yesterday in Jacksonville. And I thought, you know what? This is a perfect example of when you get your mind in the right place, you quit listening to the lies of the devil and quit listening to why you can't do something. And instead you go with confidence. You know what? This is what you're talking about, Connie, fixing our eyes on Jesus.
Right. You know, the other part of that verse that I really love, and I remember when Amy Connor came
and taught
one anniversary, for the joy that set before him, he endured the cross.
Right.
What's the joy? Us.
We're the joy.
Exactly. We're the joy.
Yes. Praise God. Yes. A lot of people do not think of themselves as the joy that was set before Jesus because they are so beat down by the lie, Connie. I mean, I feel like preaching right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people are so beat down by all the things the devil throws at them, condemnation, guilt, their past sins, like this woman caught in adultery that we've been talking about here in John 8. All the things that the devil throws at us, reminders of the past, The devil reminds us of our past, and Jesus says, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know?
Right.
Once it's forgiven, it's gone. It's buried in the deepest sea. Woo, go ahead with that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off in a preaching tangent.
Our sins are as far as the east is from the west.
Yes, amen. Psalm 103.
Even if you just think about that logistically, the east from the west.
Right.
That's a long way.
Well, it doesn't.
That's forever away.
There's no stopping to east. If you start going east, you're just going to end up in the same place if you go all the way around the globe, you know?
Right.
So,
gone.
It's gone. It's gone. And, you know, the devil really does this whole, I'm reminded of Romans 8, 1 and 2. If any of you out there are taking notes, you need to write those verses down too. We just quoted Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. You also need to write down Romans 8, 1 and 2. Because it says, Paul said these words, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And, you know, that is huge. Connie, I think that the role that condemnation has in keeping people from becoming warriors, prayer warriors, from becoming all that they can be in God, I think this is the big lie of the devil, you know. Oh, you're not worthy or whatever. Do you want to talk on that a minute?
Well, and I think people confuse conviction, which is the Holy Spirit gently nudging us that something's not right.
Right.
Not quite right, you know. And making you feel like you need to do something different.
Right.
And then there's the devil who condemns us by saying, you know, you're a loser. You know, I mean, the stuff that he allows, that, you know, we allow him to say to us.
Right.
And, you know, we've talked before about how when you're in a conversation with somebody, the filters that you have, when you're talking to somebody and they're talking back to you, you have filters to them.
Right.
Because, you know, there's just some things about people that, you know, sets up blockades.
Right.
Okay? But you don't have filters to your own voice.
Right.
So as the devil's telling you this crap, and you believe it, and you're saying, you know, then you find yourself saying, you're a loser, you're this, you're that, you're whatever. You got to stop saying the negative things. You got to keep saying positive things because we don't have a filter to our own voice.
Amen.
And so
yeah, go ahead.
Out of our mouth goes directly back into our ears without any kind of any kind of alteration.
Exactly.
When somebody says something to us, somebody else says something to us, it's filtered by our perceptions of that person.
Right.
By, you know, how we were raised, you know, culture, you know, all kinds of things. It's filtered that way.
Right.
But when we, you know, when stuff comes to us, when we say things, we take it to heart, no matter what it is.
You know,
positive or negative.
That is such a good point. Last week, Pastor Jim and I, this radio show that we did last week was on speaking the truth, the word, and speaking it out of our mouths. And that is an excellent reason why we've got to be very careful what comes out of our mouth, and we've got to learn to speak the word. If any of you out there missed last week's radio show, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and pick it up. It's there. Because this wonderful engineer we have, he gets those shows to us within a few hours, and then we get them on the website. Thank you, Bill. He's eating something.
Chocolate donuts.
All right. Okay. That's great. But Connie, this is so right on what you're saying, and we've got to get down on the inside of us that we are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We got to fight the devil. That's Revelation 12, 10 and 11. And do you want to comment on this? We're going to go back to track 5 that we didn't play, Bill. It's entitled Forgiven. I've never heard this one. Connie, do you have a comment about this and about this whole concept?
Well, I think that a lot of our blessings are blocked by unforgiveness.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yes.
And part of unforgiveness is that we don't recognize that we are forgiven.
Right.
It's already done. It's a done deal. Jesus already died on the cross.
Amen.
He took everything that we could ever imagine, any sin, any sickness, anything, to the cross. It's done. It's a done deal. We don't need to carry it around.
Preach it, girl.
We need to see it. We need to see whatever it is on the cross. We need to be able to see it hanging on the cross, and it's done.
Amen. Therefore, if Jesus already took your sin, there's no reason why you're reliving it and allowing the devil to beat you with it. Listen to this song, Forgiven. Can you stay with me a minute, Connie?
Yes.
All right, yes. Forgiven.
Failure knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life,
wow, I like that. Woo, that just said what we were talking about, Connie. And look how we reversed the order, and it was perfect right there.
Yep.
Wow, I'm a treasure in the arms of Christ because I'm forgiven. I'm writing those words down. That is powerful. I'm a treasure in the arms of Christ. We got to see ourselves as his precious children. Woo.
All we have to do is ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's there. For the asking, for the taking.
Absolutely. And we have to ask God to forgive us for the times we get over into worry and fear and anxiety and condemnation. We are not supposed to take all that that the devil throws at us because we are forgiven.
Right.
And have there been times in your life, Connie, that you walked in condemnation? Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh. Maybe our listening audience needs to hear, you know. Times where you felt like you just didn't measure up and that God couldn't answer your prayers or hear you or any of that?
Yeah, well, you know, there are times like in work situations where, you know, you don't get a job or, you know, you apply for something or, you know, why is this not working?
Right.
You know, what is it that's wrong? I must really be bad news or something has been said.
Right.
You know, and I don't even know what it is, but I've manufactured something in my mind that somebody has probably said. And,
right.
You know, so you just dwell on it all.
You just take condemnation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's to the point in our lives where we've got to come to a point where we absolutely refuse to buy the lie. And we've got to catch it when it starts. I mean, Are you getting better at that? Because I know I am. I'm working on this, you know, in my own life.
I think I'm getting a little better at it. At least I realized his trick.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I say, wait a minute. I'm not falling for that.
Right. Exactly. And then when you realize that this is the devil putting that condemnation or guilt or whatever on you, if it's truly God convicting you of something you need to take care of, it's quite simple. We just run to the Father, and we run to Jesus and ask him to forgive us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
put on some praise music.
Yeah, put on some praise music and just get revived and begin to thank him for forgiveness and take communion. We've been doing that every Sunday at Beacon lately. And it's just a joy to remember that Jesus actually allowed his body to be broken for our sins and our sicknesses. And then we take the cup and remember the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And, you know, it's a matter of fighting and resisting, you know, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's James chapter 4, 7 and 8. And if you don't know those verses, you need to memorize them. It starts out, submit to God, draw close to him, and he will draw close to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's specific direction, James 4, 7, and 8. Do you have some final comments, Connie? I know you got to go in the hospital. Do you have some? And that's not a bad thing,
Jesus,
listening
said,
audience.
When you ask for anything in my name,
yes,
it shall be given.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
So use his name. I mean, you know, a lot of times people will tell you, hey, yeah, you know, just use my name for reference. You know, you'll do fine.
Right.
Well, who else could you better have as a reference?
Than God Almighty, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Use the name of Jesus. And fact, Revelation 12, 10 and 11 says, we overcome the devil, the accuser of the brethren, by the words of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So what comes out of your mouth is extremely important. You want to comment on that before you go into work right now? Because I know you got to go. And then make it your final thought.
We kind of just talked about that. Be careful what you say, because you hear it all and you believe it.
Right.
You don't have a blockade to your voice.
Exactly. So be careful what comes out of your mouth. Don't buy the lie. Stay strong and resist what the devil throws at you. Connie, you're such a blessing. You've been with me in this ministry for so many years. And yes, you did originally come and sit in the back row, and it seemed like you were scared of of everything going on, but you don't seem scared anymore. You're just like, wow, buying it.
I wasn't really scared. I just couldn't believe that what I was seeing, I knew that it was what I had been looking for, but I couldn't believe that it was really there.
Wow.
And so I was just sitting back observing, because I was just waiting for the other shoe to fall, you know?
Right.
That it wouldn't be real, but it never happened.
But it is real, and God does love us, and it's all about the word. And I value you, my dear friend, and co-laborer in the work of the Lord. Connie Farmer, God bless you. Have a wonderful night at work. And we had a great day, didn't we? Wow.
Beautiful
day. The nursing home ministry that we just came from after service. Oh, powerful. It was great. It was really good. So anyway, God bless you, Connie, and see you soon. See you tomorrow, actually. So have a good night at work. Dear listeners, we are so happy every week to bring you truth, and that is what it's all about. And the slogan at Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And so many of us are torn up and beat up by circumstances and things that have happened in our lives. And God wants to minister his truth to you. He wants to minister the truth that you are forgiven and you can find forgiveness for whatever, anything. There is nothing that you have ever said or done that God cannot forgive. God loves you with all his heart. Remember John 3:16 and 17, and it says this, for God so loved the world. These are the words of Jesus. They're in red in your book of John, in your Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a very familiar passage. But let's go on to the very next verse. Jesus said, for the Son did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. God did not send his Son Jesus to this earth to condemn you. God sent his son Jesus to show you the real nature of the Father. That is Hebrews 1:3. Jesus came to show you what the Father was all about. The heart of God is healing. It is compassion for you. It is forgiveness for you. It is blessing you. That is the heart of God. God does not have a heart full of wrath towards you. His heart is a heart of love. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, if you are not positive right now that you are a child of God, that you are his kid, that he is your father, you can accept him right now into your heart by faith. You pray a prayer and you say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me for everything I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you. And then you take it a next step, and it's found in Romans 10:9-10. And it says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. We are approaching that resurrection season, Easter season. If you believe that God sent Jesus to this earth, that he died on a cross for your sins, your sicknesses, and if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And it says, confess it with your mouth, speak it out, and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus came to this earth and died on a cross for my sins and my sicknesses, and I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. If that is your heart, say it out loud, believe it, and you will have become a child of God, saved, full of his presence in your life. And then get in a good Bible believing church. We welcome you to listen to Living the Good Life every Sunday at this time. It'll help you grow. Go to our website, listen to other shows, and grow in the knowledge of God and grow in the Word of God. Get yourself, I teach a lot out of the Message Bible. It's a paraphrase. It helps you understand. Get you a copy of the NIV or the New American Standard, something that's easy for you to understand, and start reading the Word. Start with the book of John. It's been a great time to be with you this day. Got so much to tell you. It's been a good show. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and around the world. And we welcome you to look at our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Come to a service if you're in the Tampa Bay area, Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night at 7. This radio show every Sunday, 4 o'clock live, and that's Tampa time.
Don't forget your book.
Oh, and my book. Yes, go to our website. I've got 3 books, and the latest one is Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, All About My Daughter and Drug Addiction. Go to our website, and you can get a copy of that. A little cheaper than on Amazon. But anyway, God bless you. Have a great week. And know that if you need prayer, all you have to do is reach out. Prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Until next week, it's been great. My thanks to Michelle and to Connie. Great radio team members here at Beacon of Hope. And if we can help you, you can write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Have a great week. Until next week, I'll see you next week at 4 o'clock at this time, and I'll be in this chair. So see you then. God bless you. Have a great week.